Association of Prevention, Teaching and Research, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has developed a set of public health learning outcomes for an undergraduate public health. Donna is one of the driving forces to really try to bring something, a phenomenon that's happening all over the country, these undergraduate courses, try to bring in some kind of framework and fold in collaboration. She's also likes Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween.
Boo.
All right, thank you for letting me be here with you. How's everybody doing? It's cold in here, isn't it? Okay. When I grow up, I want to have a financial conflict of interest. That's one of my goals. I don't have any finances. How can I have a finance? All right. Again, this work is not done without great colleagues and great teams. You've already met Dr. Susan Albertine, who's in the back, and Christine Pleppies is also here in the back. And Dr. Judith Calhoun from Ann Arbor are my co-authors. So we thank them. Just quickly, the Association of Schools of Public Health is the organization that is the member organization for Schools of Public Health. Here's where they are now. Is Nebraska on this map? Nebraska Medical Center is our newest member. There are now 49 accredited schools of public health, including one in Mexico and one in France and one in Alberta, Canada. And growing. There are a number of schools in the pipeline now, so more and more schools of public health. So ASPH believes it has a responsibility to engage in these kinds of discussions about education and public health and where it's going and how to promote both opportunity and quality. At the same time, as Dan already mentioned, we were very fortunate to have AACNU, APTR, and CDC as partners in this particular initiative. And again, as Brenda just mentioned, we were partly responding to the call from the IOM that all undergraduates should have access to education in public health. We're also responding to the LEAP initiative and the opportunity that we knew existed to further explore undergraduate, to further understand what was happening across the country. As Brenda said, we know that the greatest growth in undergraduate public health education is taking place in colleges and universities outside of schools of public health. And so what was that about, and how could we pull this together? So we put a work group together, and this is a typical method that ASPH uses when it's looking to develop competencies. And if you're not familiar with the ASPH competency work, I encourage you to go to the ASPH.org website. There are now 8 approved competency sets that are available for the MPH, the DRPH, and some of the specialty areas within public health. And so we typically form work groups that include representatives of our member institutions as well as other partners. In this case, it was very, very important that we included not only schools and programs, but as I said, our strong partnership with CDC and with AACNU really necessitated that we include them early on in the leadership group. We got together and we said, let's get together and think about what an undergraduate degree might look like, or what should a major or minor look like. That was why we got together. But when we got together and started talking about, wait a minute, the IOM says we should educate every undergraduate, we have this LEAP initiative that's transforming undergraduate education. We know, as has been said already by both Lauren and Brenda, the demand by our students is almost overwhelming. And we said, maybe there's an opportunity here. And I have to tell you, the first night we met was when candidate Obama or President Obama was making a very important speech, and we stopped our discussion and watched him, and we were so inspired. And afterward we said, we must educate every undergraduate in public health. It's our future. And so the next morning when we all got back together, we were good to go. We said, yes, we know at some point we have to work together to describe what undergraduate majors and minors should look like, but today we're going to take on this larger challenge. What should every undergraduate, as an educated member of society, know about public health to be an educated member of that society and help improve the health of the public? Because we know that that's what it's all about. So we used the LEAP framework. We adopted the LEAP framework because, again, we were responding to that initiative and because it makes such perfect sense when you think about public health. So the LEAP framework has 4 domains, and the first, knowledge of human cultures in the physical and natural world, we simply added as it relates to individual and population health. Probably didn't need to do that, but we felt the need to make it ours. The second domain, intellectual and practical skills. The third, personal and social responsibility. And the fourth, integrative and applied learning. What we did was say, all right, we're going to use this LEAP framework. We're going to think about learning outcomes. And we very intentionally didn't call them competencies because this is not about majors or minors. It's not even about courses necessarily. It's certainly not about preparing people for work. It's about exposing every undergraduate. And so we deliberately chose the term learning outcomes. We framed learning outcomes in the first three domains, and then we got together again to think about, okay, so now that we know what we want undergraduates to know and do, how will we do that? And I'll get right to the punchline now so that I can repeat it several times so you won't forget it. That fourth domain is an active, living, dynamic domain that we invite people to contribute to. So I'll say it now, and then I'll say it again at the end. Again, we populated the work groups equally with membership from the liberal arts and sciences education world and the public health world. So each of the domains had co-chairs, one from each of those worlds, and the members were half and half from each of those worlds, and we had phenomenal leadership, Dan Gerber, of course, being the best of the group. but very, very active work. And the process, if you haven't participated in one of these processes, it's really kind of interesting. People sort of contribute anything they want to up front. You know, what's the universe of learning outcomes? And you come up with hundreds of them. And then you have to narrow them down, and you use a modified Delphi approach where people get to keep them or throw them out or modify them. And then we engage much larger groups of people that we call resource experts who, again, came from practice, from the liberal arts and sciences, from public health. And you eventually get down to a set that you can manage. And it looks like this. So domain one, I'm not going to read all these. So domain one, again, in the LEAP framework, knowledge of human cultures in the physical and natural world. So things like number eight, explain the influence that science and technology have on individual and population health. Number five, discuss the role of gender, race, ethnicity, and other evolving demographics in affecting population health. Now again, these are not intended in any way, shape, or form to be prescriptive. You don't have to do them all. The idea here is if you are teaching any course at the undergraduate level, or if you are engaged in some co-curricular activity, which could be faculty-led or staff-led or student-led, if there are things among this list that you could incorporate into that learning, you would then perhaps meet this learning outcome in that way. And if you think about public health, it sort of fits almost everywhere. 12, recognize the importance of key events and milestones in the history and development of the field of public health. So right here, there are science classes that could address number 8. There are history classes that could address number 12. There are anthropology, sociology, psychology, gender and women's studies, and all kind of things that could address number 5. So you can incorporate public health. Number 2, domain 2, intellectual and practical skills. 8, assess the source and quality of health information and data as related to individual and community health. You could do that, again, in a variety of different courses. 10, recognize the impact of policies, laws, and legislation on individual and population health. You could do that in a political science class, in a history class, all kinds of things you could do. And 3, of course, personal and social responsibility, essential to the LEAP framework and critical to public health. Let's see, number 2, discuss the role of community engagement in promoting population health and social justice. So how do you get a community mobilized and activated? How do you interact at that level? 8, advocate. Why do I like 8? It's like my favorite number. 8, advocate for evidence-based social changes that improve the health of individuals and communities. That relates back to data. Where do they get data? Where do they get information? How do they learn to understand what might be fact, what might be fiction? And you know, in our world now, with the media, with instant messaging, with all that goes on, it's often difficult for the public to sort that out, and we'd like our undergraduates to be better at that. So here's where it gets fun. So we came up with those learning outcomes. I think it's a pretty good set. But then we wanted to figure out, okay, so how do we incorporate that in learning? And there is a lot of good science out there and research that talks about integrative learning, lifelong learning, educational design principles, that you want to address these different aspects, intrinsically reward-based, student-centered, experiential, all these other things. So you can think very, very broadly about integrative and applied learning. Think about all the different ways you can do that, again, in a classroom setting as well as outside the classroom setting. So what might we do? How might we apply these learning outcomes? Well, you could do it more formally through capstone courses if you wanted, through internships, through case study or problem-based learning activities. You could create learning communities. You could have students from across different programs working on collaborative projects. There can be coaching opportunities. You can engage them in community-based work, planning teams, interactive seminars, as was already mentioned, getting them outside, doing extracurricular work, including global, et cetera, et cetera. So we have been populating, again, the website on domain 4, and it's a living, dynamic site that we want people to contribute to. And the goal is to have examples for every learning outcome of how they can be integrated and applied. That's our goal, and that it can continue to grow and that we can learn from each other. So 1.1, define public health and related roles and responsibilities of government, non-government, and private organizations, shared with us a case study that looked at, there was a an issue of fish deaths in local lakes. Well, what was that about? Well, you need agencies of the government, non-governmental agencies, and others. And so there was a case study that students read about and learned about and solved that illustrated that learning outcome. 1.11, appreciate the role of community collaborations in promoting population health, shared with us a team-based service learning project with a local health department regarding the development of a smoking cessation campaign. So again, you get the students engaged with the health department in a team, collaborative, in a community, and that helps them understand how community collaborations come together to promote population health. Two, again, that's the skills domain. Describe how the methods of epidemiology and surveillance are used to safeguard the population's health. In this case, what was shared with us was a presentation by a state health department epidemiologist describing how they address diseases that are based in food. So, you know, how does foodborne disease control work? So that there was a presentation by the epidemiologist and a discussion. And again, sort of no matter where you are, there's a local health department nearby or a state health department nearby, and you can find these people who actually love coming over and talking with students. 2.6, engage in collaborative and interdisciplinary approaches and teamwork for improving population health. Here we had an example shared with us of a getting students from different courses together, a joint course exercise with urban planning, architecture, and public policy students to think about how to help people walk and bike more in their community. So a great example of you're trying to achieve a health outcome, but you need the city planner and you need the urban design people to come together and help do that. And again, all those students then get a dose of 2.6 learning outcome, and they all walk away with perhaps a better appreciation of public health. Domain 3, again, the responsibility, personal and social responsibility. 3.5, participate in the political process to improve health. Help them learn how to write to their elected officials and expressing an opinion. They can do that together. They can do that as a group. They can see what kind of response they get. It's a very interesting learning experience for them. 3.9, champion the role of prevention in promoting a healthy community. And here we had shared with us an internship project where a student worked on oral cancer risk reduction strategies with the Dental Association in their state. So you can see the wide variety of things that we're learning from our colleagues out in the field. So we really, really want people to continue to share their examples with us, the experiences that they've had, how has it worked, so that we can build this rich resource that all of us can then use. And again, we really believe that the more we can expose all undergraduates to these ideas, the better the world will be, because they'll be more informed, they'll be better educated. And again, these can be classroom-based or outside classroom-based. And I learned early on that, you know, when I get the newspaper in the morning, as much as it kills me, I go right to the op-ed page and I read the letters to the editor that people write. Because you have to know both what the community thinks and what the newspaper thinks the community thinks. So you gotta follow both of those. And the letters that come in that are so illustrative of what happens when you don't understand basic public health are staggering. And I'd like to think that both when I have those financial disclosures to make, that I will also not read those kind of letters to the editor anymore, that we will have an educated public that understands a lot of these things. So we welcome your suggestions, please, to the learning outcomes at asph.org website, the larger asph.org website where all the competency sets are. Encourage you to visit that if you haven't seen it. Christine Pleppy is again in the back of the room, happy to entertain any comments and questions. And just, let me see, right, I'll go back. Because it was brought up, as I said, we did start out thinking we were going to get together and craft guidance for majors and minors. And then we decided to do this first, but we had to do one of these deals. You know, yes, we will come back and do that thing next. So we are moving into that that activity to really help define, again, collectively with all of our colleagues. But we also recognize that we really can't do that, as Lauren's spelled out so nicely. You can't do that without thinking about the masters. How do they relate? How do they interdigitate? What boundaries do you draw? And then we also really don't want to do that without also thinking about doctoral training. And we don't want to do any of that without thinking about professional, you know, continuing professional development of the workforce. And we don't want to do any of that without thinking about what is public health and where are we going. And so this little project has become a much bigger project. There's been a task force appointed that's meeting tomorrow morning, and hopefully we'll come up with a structure to manage all of this, really thinking about the continuum of education in public health from the liberal arts, undergraduate, all the way up to very specialized postdoctoral work. So stay tuned for news on where that project is going. Thank you.